Hello, this is DJ Frederick, and this is the Radio Thrift Shop, program 150. There have been 150 editions of the Radio Thrift Shop. Thanks for tuning in. I wanted to do something a little bit different this time out, going to feature some old-time radio shows. Since Radio Thrift Shop is about music from 1900 to the present, it should also be about radio from 1900 to the present. So I'd like to start out with an audition program by Sons of the Pioneers, which was a pilot and never actually made it to a radio series. So let's open the Radio Thrift Shop with the Sons of the Pioneers.
Presenting America's favorite singers, the Sons of the Pioneers.
Drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed.
Howdy, this is Bob Nolan with all the Sons of the Pioneers. We believe we have something new and different in a program of your favorite songs. You know, for the last 15 years, we've been collecting these numbers. Not just Westerns, but every type of song that radio audiences hold near and dear to their hearts. Popular standards, sentimental ballads, spirituals, folk songs, the best in Western music, and harmony favorites. Yes, harmony favorites. Like this one.
Shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky. I ain't had no loving since January, February, June, or July. Snow time ain't no time to stay outdoors and school. So shine on, harvest moon for me and my gal.
Harvest moon, away up in the sky. I've been missing out on lots of loving since January, February, and maybe July.
Snowtime
ain't no time for spooning. If you want to see us honeymooning,
you gotta shine on, shine on, harvest moon, for me and my gal.
For me and my gal.
That deep bass voice was Foghorn, otherwise Hugh Farr.
That's me.
I guess old Foggy is about the most energetic and hardest-working lazy man you'll ever find.
Lazy, right.
He sings, plays mandolin, harmonica, drums, and a mean mess of fiddle. Conducts our novelty orchestra, the Tune Twirlers, and, well, what else do you do, Foghorn?
Well, Bob, I decompose music, too.
You decompose music? You ain't kidding. When you decompose music, it stays decomposed.
Plum dead.
And now, on the other hand, here's Tim Spencer. Timmy has composed something over 200 songs. You'll probably know him best by that lusty, dusty, treetop and favorite of the lumber camps, the Timber Trail.
Timber!
Timber!
Oh, the mountains high,
timber,
down the canyons wide. Let me roam and ride, ride through timber. When the day is done,
timber! Calling, timber,
and the echoes ring, for all nature sings
sings a song along the timber trail. The timber trail.
Timber!
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 At this point in the program, you will present your first sales message. Here, your local announcer will take charge with a ready-made, receptive audience. Two musical numbers already have been presented, and listeners are aware that it is a show built especially for them under your banner with their favorite songs and their favorite personalities, the Sons of the Pioneers. The Pioneers have been radio headliners for nearly 15 years. In addition to their own starring shows for Goodyear, Dr. Pepper, Camel Cigarettes, and other sponsors, they have been guests on the shows of Charlie McCarthy, Jack Benny, Kate Smith, Bing Crosby, and practically every top program on the air. Their radio audience is tailor-made for you. Now, back to the show.
Here's Lloyd Perryman and the trio to sing the sentimental song from Grandfather's Day. Back when a clock was used mostly as an ornament in the hall, because in those days, no one was in too big a hurry.
My grandfather's clock was too big for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride.
But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, his life seconds numbering. It stopped short, never to go again when the old man.
In watching its pendulum swing to and fro, many years had he spent while a boy. And in childhood and manhood, the clock seemed to know and to share both his grief and his joy. For it struck 24 when he entered at the door with a blooming and beautiful bride.
But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, his life seconds numbering. It stopped short, never to go again when the old man.
I was telling you about our tune twirlers conducted by Foghorn Farr. Well, they're really quite a combination. Hep to the jive, solid senders, groovy, and all that sort of stuff.
Not only that, first one through gets to play the ending.
Oh. Well, we'll hear that to believe it, Foghorn. Sure enough, they finished together.
Lucky, weren't they?
I resemble that remark.
Say, Pat Brady.
Yeah.
While you and Foghorn are here together, Let's cook up that little comedy number.
Oh, you mean that charming classic of the cattle country, cowboys and Indians?
That's the very one, Pat. You know, in our films, and we've made about 100 of them, I guess, sometimes the Indians chase the cowboys, and sometimes the cowboys chase the Indians.
Ah, yes.
Well, here's a case where Pat Brady, that pioneer of cockeyed comedy, chases both of them. Tom Tom's boys.
Cowboys and Indians, yip, 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 away. Scalping, shooting, yelping, yip, yay. Arrows flying through the air, bullets buzzing here and there. Bullets are hiding everywhere from cowboys and Indians.
Big Chief running, water's running wild. Sitting Bull ain't sitting, he is riled. Old Curly Joe ain't curly anymore. Why they hung his scalp upon their wigwam door? Yip, 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 yip.
Cowboys and Indians, yip, 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 the old way. Scalping, shooting, yelping, yip, the a. Arrows flying through the air, bullets buzzing here and there. Folks are hiding everywhere from cowboys and Indians.
Big Fat Bill is Little William now. Since he left that Cherokee powwow. Oh, Indian maids have made that toughest man. Oh, the meekest and the weakest in the land. Yip, yip, yip.
Cowboys and Indians, yip, 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 the old way. Scalping, shooting, yelping, yip-yay. Arrows flying through the air, bullets buzzing here and there. Folks are hiding everywhere from cowboys and Indians.
Silverbell and Red Wings had a row. Minnie Haw Haw, she ain't laughing now. She's feuding with a lady known as Lou. They're fighting for the love of Dan McGrew.
Cowboys and Indians, yip, 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 the away. Scalping, shooting, yelping, yip, the a. Arrows flying through the air, bullets buzzing here and there. Folks are hiding everywhere from cowboys and Indians.
Ow! Oh, get them bulldog.
Dead duck. Well, next up, the pioneers will sing our Song of the West. My own number, Cool Water. But first, this important message for you.
Yes, here is the spot for your next sales message. Suppose we take the time to tell you more about the pioneers. Each year, the sons of the pioneers are seen on the motion picture screens of thousands of theaters. They appear in 6 to 8 films annually. And they have nearly 100 movies already to their credit in the last 15 years. And now, for the first time, individual sponsors can cash in on this peak popularity of the Sons of the Pioneers by having this custom-built series on the air. Remember, these pioneers are not just Western stars. Their appeal is universal. They sing all kinds of songs. They win all kinds of audiences. Truly, the Sons of the Pioneers are America's favorite singer.
Keep a moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water.
Water.
Dan, can you see that big water, green tree where the water's running free? And it's waiting water there for me and you.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water.
Cool water.
Oh, Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free? And it's waiting there for me and you.
Dan's feet are sore, he's yearning for just one thing more than water.
Cool water.
Like me, I guess he'd like to rest where there's no quest for water.
Water.
And so ends our presentation of the Sons of the Pioneer Show, a show that will bring listeners goodwill and sales results for you and your business. And remember, they'll be back for more tomorrow.
Oh, you gotta love that whistling. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, program 150. Next, we're going to hear an episode of Music Depreciation. The title of Music Depreciation was really a gag. It harkened back to the famed musical director Walter Damrosch, who pioneered radio broadcasts of live classical music and originated music appreciation, classical music concert shows on the radio. So this show was a swing music equivalent of that concept, but with the hip idea that you could take a tune, even a classical melody, and swing it. We have some wonderfully talented jazz musicians on the show, Les Paul Trio, Peggy Lee, Martha Tilton, Margaret Whiting, Mel Torme, and a young Andre Previn. And some of the arrangers on Music Depreciation were Billy May and Neil Hefti, among others. The 30-minute shows were played for laughs at times, but the music was always first-rate and is as swinging and fresh as it was back in the war years when it came on the scene. So without further ado, let's hear Music Depreciation.
From the Donnelly Studios in Hollywood, here's Music Depreciation, arranged and conducted by Frank Duvall for the orchestra, with the commentary of Reuben Gaines. You'll hear the Les Paul Trio and tonight's guest stars, Dave Street and Dave Matthews. Welcome to Music Depreciation. The master of the commentary. We give you that eminent student of Beethoven, that master of Mozart, the man who took Haydn out of hiding. In the game of music, he's aces, Bach to Bach, Dr. Reuben Gaines.
That is all, gentlemen. We will rehearse the second movement tomorrow. Good evening. We see the house lights are hushed, the audience is dim. The concert of Music Depreciation is about to begin. Tonight, Dr. Frankenstein Duvall, celebrating his recent promotion from motorman to conductor, welcomes to these halls such greats as Professor Lesky Paul, shockingly attired in an electric guitar, and our guests of the evening, Senior Dave Meyer Street, who conducts one-way traffic in operatic arias, and the gifted Dr. Davidoffsky Matthews, whose talent for the tenor saxophone comes in the large economy size. The concert begins tonight with Dr. Duvall's reading of Caravan. The opening passage suggests an ornate Persian rug. By the time the passage is over, the Persian rug is crying on Allah for mercy. And of course, we see the desert and a lost Arab dying of thirst and dreaming that he is drinking great vats of ale. This naturally is titled Wishful Thinking. Dr. Duvall is on, and we are off. Thank you. happiness is, of course, at the highest ebb as the spotlight winks modestly in the presence of Senior Dave Meyer Street, and a hush greets the thrush. It might be uninteresting to note that in his youth, the senor was determined to become a sailor. His father warned him against the water, but he stubbornly bought a boat and lived to row it. He is about to sing the Calendar Maker's Nightmare music, Sleigh Ride in July. It opens with a charming description of a sweet but deaf old lady. In the vacant lot next door to the sweet, deaf old lady, they are preparing to blast with dynamite. They set off the blast. The dear old lady smooths her hair, straightens her apron, and says,
"Come in."
The dear old lady is joined a little later by an acquaintance, and the two friendly gossips sit up all night burning the scandal at both ends. Here is Senior Street.
If I were the type to play around, it wouldn't be so bad. But I didn't know my way around, and what a time I had. I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. Oh, I must have been a setup for a sigh. A mockingbird was whistling a sentimental tune, and I didn't know enough to come in out of the moonlight. So the big romance was only make-believe. Just a sleigh ride on a balmy summer eve. My dreams were safe all winter, and then to think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. Big romance was only make-believe. Just a sleigh ride on a balmy summer eve. My dreams were safe all winter, and then to think that
at this point, it might be absorbing to note that Dr. Duvall was at one time ambitious to become a composer. He was thinking of writing March music, but the critics got to him in February and saved the day. He will conduct for us in a moment the poem romanza, I Dream of Jeannie. This composition is highly dramatic. We see an Indian chief bearing gifts to another Indian chief. They meet and give the ceremonial greeting.
How?
How?
What kind of gift you bring me?
Me bring you eggs.
Eggs?
Eggs.
Ugh, good. Me like eggs.
20 years pass. They meet again. How?
Scrambled.
And the two demons depart, shaking hands and swearing eternal fiendship. Here is Dr. Duvall. Brimming cup of joy is at high tide, of course, as we welcome a return performance of the gifted Professor Lesky Paul, who appears tonight guitared and feathered as usual. He is to play for us the pizzicato, vibrato, moderato, staccato, clouds. This is in three threatening movements. In the first, we hear these three notes, G, A, B. The G, A, B is repeated. G, A, B. And so it continues, gab, 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 throughout the entire movement. The second movement gives us music in which a herd of hogs breaks into a chicken coop. Then fire breaks out. This is the ham omelet music. The third movement is optional. We see the option has been dropped. And here's the professor. Thank you. The appearance with us tonight of the gifted and brilliant Senor Dave Meyer Street reminds us that he is known as a composer as well as a performer. One of his celebrated works is the Economy Etude. It depicts the pinched look on the expression of the face of the Indian on a nickel in the pocket of a man named McGregor. In a moment, we are to hear the aria, How Deep is the Ocean? It describes first the launching of a cat boat. This is titled Angora's Away. The remainder of the music is a melodic meal in courses. First, the flutes provide the hors d'oeuvres. We hear the strings in the soup. For the entree, the brasses. And, of course, for dessert, cello. Senor Street and Dr. Duvall enter from the wings, supporting each other, and here is the music.
Lost you, how much would I cry?
how deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? Would I cry? How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky?
Final music in tonight's concert of masterworks brings us a concerto for orchestra and the tenor saxophone of Dr. Davidoffsky Matthews, titled 5 o'clock Drag. First, we observe a brave knight in armor. On looking more closely, we see the knight is but a midget, and instead of riding a steed, we see he is astride a Saint Bernard. The storm breaks. He knocks at the door of a farmhouse, crying, "I am a poor knight in distress. Let me in." The farmer at first refuses. Then he glances down at the Saint Bernard and says, "Forgive me. Come in. I couldn't turn down a knight on a dog like this." Then the charming picture of a number of cackling hens. They have heard that some men are going to lay a sidewalk. The hens have gathered to see how they do it. Fire breaks out and burns fiercely, till naught remains but ashes. After the performance, the conductor is usually presented with a sackcloth to match. Dr. Matthews, Dr. Duvall, the orchestra, an option on the kitchen sink, and the music, 5 o'clock Drag.
Thank you.
This has been Music Depreciation. Ruben E. Gaines speaking. Good night, music lovers. From the Donnelly Studios in Hollywood, Music Depreciation has presented the orchestra and the scores of Frank Duvall with the Les Paul Trio and our distinguished guests of the evening, Dave Street and Dave Matthews. Your commentator was Reuben Gaines. We'll see you next week on Music Depreciation. Tony Lofrano speaking. The men of the Merchant Marine have done their duty in this war and have done it well. The merchant seaman is essential to victory, and he is needed to man the supply line until that victory is achieved. We've got the ships, and three more merchant vessels are being launched every day. We've got to get men to sail them. Look up the qualifications today and help man that supply line. This is Mutual.
There you have it. Music Depreciation on the Radio Thrift Shop. I think we'll do one more old-time radio show. Every so often, I like to take a look at a year in the past. There was a great show called That Was the Year. We're going to time warp now back to 1907.
That was the year.
Recreating notable events of passing time. Reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of our modern world. That was the year. Some years previous, Scottish-Australian John Alexander Dowie founded the Christian Catholic Church, established Zion City, Illinois, set up schools, a university, a publishing house for religious works, general merchandise stores, and factories for the manufacture of soap, lace, candy, clothing, harness, and crackers. But no doctors, no drugstores. In 1903, John Alexander Dowie decided it was high time to invade New York City. Arriving in 8 trainloads, Dowie and 3,000 of the self-termed Zion's Restoration Host marched to Madison Square Garden. But sophisticated Manhattan refused to take the invaders seriously, calling them Satan Stormers. Seething under the ridicule, Dowie made haste to scold his critics with burning invectives. And at one Madison Square meeting...
This so-called city is nothing more than the whiskey pot of creation. These dirty yellow dogs...
Mr. Dowie!
These rats, these maggots who
Mr.
dare...
Mr. Dowie!
Who is that? What do you mean by disturbing this peaceful Christian meeting?
Mr. Dowie, I challenge you to a debate. Right here and right now.
Debate? Who are you?
My name is Carrie Nation.
What?
And I've come here to challenge you to a debate.
Carrie Nation, wife, you... Soldiers of Zion, put that woman out of this place. Put her out, I say. Put her out.
Mr.
Following the New York debacle, Dowie knew that he'd been definitely undermined in the thoughts of his followers. Broken mentally and physically after a stroke in 1905, he sailed for the West Indies, leaving a triumvirate in control of Zion City. After a month, he deposed them, set up Wilbur Glenn Voliva as dictator. Quickly realizing the error of diplomacy, Dowie attempted to depose Voliva. And upon Voliva's outright refusal, the Patriarch of Zion returned and feebly tried to stamp out the rebellion against him. But with the consent of his wife and son, John Alexander Dowie was himself deposed. And on March 9, 1907, in the religious empire he had founded, died alone, forgotten, a useless, tired, decrepit old man.
1907. That was a year
that District Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis sprang to fame and later to fortune as high mogul of professional baseball by imposing the largest fine in the history of United States, $29,240,000, against the Standard Oil Company of Indiana, which decision was later reversed upon appeal.
Upon being informed of the fine, John D. Rockefeller is alleged to have remarked to newspaper reporters,
"Judge Landis will be dead a long while before this fine is paid."
1907. That was the year
that one of the most spectacular trials in the annals of crime came to a startling conclusion. On the evening of December 30, 1905, in an office in the small town of Caldwell, Idaho, Frank Sternenberg, ex-governor of Idaho, talks to his 25-year-old son.
"Well, son, I guess we better get on home. Mother will be waiting with dinner."
"All right, Dad."
"Come along."
"Think it's going to snow, Dad?"
Yes, looks as though it might before morning. That sky is pretty black."
"Hello, Mr. Sternenberg."
"Hello, Jack." "Hello, Jack."
"You go along, Dad. I want to talk with Jack a minute."
"All right. Good night, Jack."
"Good night."
"Say, Jack, if it snows, let's get up some..."
"Dr. Lieber Augustine, 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 Augustine." "Guess I better oil the hinges on this gate tomorrow."
"Oh. Frank! Frank! Frank, where are you? Oh! Oh, Frank!
What's the matter, Mother? What does this mean?"
"Oh, Frank. Oh, I knew it would end like this."
In 20 minutes, Frank Sternenberg was dead. The next day, citizens of Caldwell and cattle ranches from the surrounding territory gathered in little excited groups.
"Got any suspects yet, Sheriff?"
"Nope, not yet. That snowfall last night should have helped us to track down anybody that was trying to get away, too."
"Pardon me, gentlemen."
"Eh?"
"My name is Hogan, T.S. Hogan. I'm staying down at the Hotel Saratoga."
"Eh? What can we do for you?"
"Well, I was just wondering if you knew where I might be able to buy a good flock of sheep."
"Sheep, huh? Don't reckon you'll find nobody willing to talk sheep selling today, Mr. Hogan."
"Just a minute. How long you been in town, Mr. Hogan?"
"Oh, about 3 weeks. Why?"
"Have you heard what happened here last night?"
"Why, well, yes, of course. I heard that ex-governor Sternenberg..."
"Yeah. You'll excuse me for saying this, but it appears to me like you're taking this murder mighty cool, like."
"Cool? Well, after all, I came to Caldwell to..."
"Suppose we take a walk down to the city hall and talk a little more about why you come to Caldwell."
Identified as Harry Orchard, former officer in a miner's organization, the suspect was charged with first-degree murder. There flocked to Idaho scores of detectives determined upon solving the crime. One was quiet, intelligent, professorial 67-year-old James McParlin, who for more than a week visited Orchard in his cell for hours at a time. One day in the front office of the jail...
"Well, Mr. McParlin, anything new?"
"Yes, Sheriff, I believe there is. Harry Orchard is your man."
"Well, how'd you find that out?"
"I have just now procured a full confession in detail from Orchard that he not only set the bomb which killed Sternenberg, but that he is the murderer of 18 people in the past 10 years."
Well, why? What's it all about? Why did he kill Sternenberg?"
"Harry Orchard has just informed me that he is in the pay of three members of a mining association, William D. Haywood, Charles H. Moyer, and George A. Pettibone, and it was by their instruction that he killed ex-governor Sternenberg."
The three new figures in the case were brought to trial. Chief defense counsel was Clarence Darrow, while the prosecution was guided by the then little-known U.S. Senator-elect,
William E. Vora.
Finally, on the morning of July 28, guided by instructions from the presiding judge...
Gentlemen of the jury, under the statutes of this state, a person cannot be convicted of a crime upon the testimony of an accomplice, unless such accomplice is corroborated by other evidence.
And realizing the only star witness for the state had been Harry Orchard, the jury of 12 men brought in the verdict...
Not guilty.
And the historic Haywood trial was at an end.
That was a year
that in the drab, leaden dawn of the morning of October 21, a passerby noticed a cluster of people standing in front of the four massive columns of the Knickerbocker Trust Company of New York, brows clouded with anxiety.
Good morning.
Is it?
What's the matter? What are all you people standing here for?
Waiting for 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? Why, that's when the bank opens.
Yeah, we're waiting to get our money out, if we can.
Why, what do you mean? I've got money in there, too. What do you mean?
You'd better get in line then, mister. All the banks in town are going to have a tough time today.
And the panic of 1907 had begun. The financial phenomenon which in a few days transformed the United States into a chaotic imbroglio of seething depositors, all struggling in the vain attempt to withdraw their funds from banks. At the height of the panic, a group of financial moguls arranged for the importation of $100 million in gold to be deposited with banks of the U.S. In a few weeks, the spectacle of the 1907 panic was on its decline.
1907. That was the year
that America was whistling, singing, humming, dancing to Franz Lehár's perennial Merry Widow Waltz.
Now or never, and forever, I love you. Let me hold you till I've told you. I believe in magic.
Well, there you have it, time warping back to 1907. This is DJ Frederick. You've been listening to the Radio Thrift Shop program 150, 150 programs. Let's look forward to the next 150 or 200 or 500 or however many I can get in this lifetime. Thanks for listening.
I gotta wonder if you can.